Thank you, Carlos, for giving us the reading of the scriptures there from Haggai chapter 1. I'd like to encourage everyone to keep your Bibles open there to the book of Haggai, for we're going to begin with our study there in just a moment. But before we do, I'd just like to take a moment to certainly thank everyone for their presence here this morning. We do have visitors among us. We're delighted that you've chosen to come our way. And we hope that you will be encouraged and that you'll return during each and every opportunity that you may have. There in Haggai chapter 1 and in verse 6, notice the words of the prophet speaking to the Jews. As they had yet to rebuild the temple, he said to them, "You have sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves but no one is warm." Now watch it. "And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes." That's the title of our sermon this morning. Like putting wages into a bag with holes. You see, to be simply put, the point that Haggai was making here was that the things that the Jews were doing were not accomplishing anything worthwhile. And they were simply losing the rewards of their labors. As he put it, it was like they were putting wages into a bag of holes. Get that picture in your mind for a moment. What good's that going to do, right? Not going to profit anything, is it? Not going to profit anything. And sadly, this holds true for some today. For there are some today whose actions are not accomplishing anything worthwhile. And for them, it is like putting wages into a bag with holes. It simply profits them nothing. So with that thought pressed upon our minds this morning, let's take just a few moments this morning to consider some examples that is like that of putting wages into a bag with holes. And I begin by suggesting to us this morning that putting trust in uncertain riches is like putting wages into a bag with holes. As we talked about this morning in our Bible study class, we talked about how there are many today who are putting their trust in uncertain riches. They're putting their trust in earthly wealth and gain. And did you know, when people put their trust in riches, it's like putting something into a bag of holes. For it's not going to profit them anything. Notice with me the words of the wise man found there in Proverbs chapter 11 and in verse 4. And there we learn that riches do not profit in the day of wrath. Think about that. You see, the wise man, he's making it very clear that in the day of wrath, riches, they're going to profit you nothing. Fast forwarding there to verse 28 of Proverbs chapter 11, the wise man goes on to say, "He who trusts in riches will what? Will fall." Again, denoting the fact that putting trust in riches is not worthwhile. And we need to be mindful of the fact, as we learn there in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse number 7, the fact that we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. As we talked about in our Bible study this morning, as the wise man concluded there in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, as he was talking about how all of man's labors under the sun is vanity. And he talked about how man, all those possessions that he gains from all his labors under the sun, what's going to be the ultimate result of all that? Ultimately, they're going to be left for the one that comes after, right? They're going to be left to someone else. And again, as we learned there in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, we brought nothing in, and it's certain we're going to carry nothing out. You see, we're not going to take those riches with us, are we? We're not going to take them with us. And that is why it's important, as also was brought out in our Bible study class this morning, the need to make sure that we put our trust where our trust needs to be put. Instead of putting our trust in uncertain riches, we need to be putting our trust in the one true and living God. And that is exactly what Paul instructed Timothy to instruct the rich to do there in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Notice this with me there in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Paul writing to Timothy said, Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, now watch it, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. And he tells us why. When he says, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Remember that. And don't be one who puts your trust in uncertain riches, but rather put your trust in the one true living God, the creator, the sustainer of all. And be one who trusts in the one true living God rather than in uncertain riches. Knowing that putting your trust in uncertain riches is like putting wages into a bag with holes. Knowing that when you put your trust in the one true living God, that you are putting your trust into the one who will not disappoint. But I also suggest to us another example of like putting wages into a bag of holes. And that is good deeds done without love. It's like putting wages into a bag of holes. Did you know that? You see, notice what the Apostle Paul says about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 3. And there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3, Paul writes, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing." Think about that. Paul says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, even though I was willing to give my life for these good deeds, but yet I do these things without love, it profits me nothing. You see, we can be doing many good deeds, but if we do those good deeds without the proper attitude, without love, those good deeds are going to profit us nothing. Be mindful of that. And remember the need to owe no one anything except to love one another. That's the instruction Paul gives there in Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. And fast forwarding down there to verse number 10, he tells us there that love does no harm. Let that sink in for a moment. Paul said, love does no harm to a neighbor. Simply put, what Paul was saying there is you can't go wrong with love. And we need to be mindful of that. Do we need to be doing good deeds? Certainly. We need to be doing good deeds. But we need to make sure that our good deeds are coupled with love. For doing good deeds without love profits us nothing. Nothing. And remember, the need to do all that you do, do it with love. As Paul instructs there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 14. And may we never, and I repeat, may we never grow weary in doing good. Notice what Paul says about this there in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 beginning. There in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul writes, "And let us not grow weary while doing good." Why, Paul? Well, notice. "For in due season we shall reap." We shall reap if what, Paul? "If we do not lose heart." Verse 10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do what? Do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Once more, be mindful of that. Never grow weary in doing good, and seek to do good to all, especially, as Paul says, of those who are of the household of faith. And may we make sure that we do all that we do with love, never forgetting that good deeds without love is like putting wages into a bag with holes. But I also suggest to us another thing that is like putting wages into a bag of holes, and that is being hearers of the word only is like putting wages into a bag of holes. You see, sadly, there are too many today who just let the Word of God go right in one ear and right out the other. They let it just go right in one ear and right out the other. All they do is they're hearers of the words and they're not doers of it. But did you know that those who only hear the Word, they are those who deceive themselves? Did you know that? James makes us aware of this fact there in James chapter 1. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to James chapter 1. And notice these words of James beginning in verse number 21. Here in James chapter 1 and verse number 21, James says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." Now pay attention, beginning in verse number 22. James goes on to say, "But to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one, James says, will be blessed in what he does." Let that sink in. You see, simply put, what James is saying, if you're just a hearer of the word, if you just let the word go in one ear and right out the other, you're deceiving yourself and it's going to profit you nothing. It's not going to profit you anything. But what is going to profit, James? Who is the one who's going to be blessed? Those who not only hear the word, but are those who are also a doer of it. Those who hear the word and those who live it. Those who make proper application of it in their lives. James says, this one will be blessed in what he does. You see where the profit is? The profit is in hearing and doing, not just hearing. And when we just let the word of God go right in one ear and right out the other, it's like putting wages into a bag of holes. It's of absolutely no profit whatsoever. Therefore, as we learned there in James chapter 1 and verse 25, be both a hearer and a doer of God's word. Be one who not only hears the word, but who also makes proper application of it in your life. Again, remembering, as James said there in verse number 25, he who does this will be blessed in what he does. And may we always be mindful of the words of Jesus himself, found there in Luke chapter 11 and verse number 28. And there in Luke chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus himself said, "Blessed are those who hear the word and keep it." Simply put, what Jesus is saying, blessed are those who hear the word and do it. And do it. Remember that. And let us be a people who are not only hearers of the word only, but let us likewise be hearers and doers of the word. But I also suggest to us this morning another example of that, like putting wages into a bag of holes. And that is, faith without works is like putting wages into a bag with holes. Did you know that? You see, there are a lot of people today who believe in faith only. They believe in that false doctrine of faith only. But did you know that faith without works is like putting wages into a bag of holes? As James put it there in James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. Therefore, it is of no profit. Notice that with me. Going there to James chapter 2, and let's just begin there in verse number 14. And there James said, he asked this question, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works?" That's a good question. What does it profit? He goes on to ask, can faith save him? Verse 15, if a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. You see, we all recognize and understand that if one comes to us and they're naked and they're destitute of daily food, and we just say, "Hey, go on, be about your way, depart in peace, be warm and filled," But we don't give them the things that they need to be able to do that. Are they going to be able to do that? Is that going to profit them? It's not, is it? And James says the same is with faith without works. Faith without works isn't going to profit. Faith without works, James says, is dead. He says, picking up in verse 18, but some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? There it is again. Faith without works is dead, James says. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. Think about that for a moment. Abraham was called what? A friend of God. Why? Because he had faith coupled with works. Going on there, picking up in verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. By the way, did you know that that's the only place in the scriptures you're going to find the words faith only? Did you know that? Right here in James chapter 2 and verse number 24. The only place you're going to find the words faith only. And notice what it said about it. That man is justified by works and not by faith only. Let that sink in. Verse 25, likewise. Was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, here it is again, so faith without works is dead also. Simply put, we can understand that faith without works, it's dead. It profits nothing. Knowing that, let us not be a people who possess faith without works, but rather let us be a people who have faith, who continue into faith, as is instructed there in Acts chapter 14 and verse number 22, and let us be a people who are zealous for good works. Notice what Paul says about the need to be zealous for good works there in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14. And here we learn in Titus 2 and verse 14 that Christ gave himself for us. Why? Well, notice that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. Think about that. When you think about the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you think about that, and you think about what Paul says here, how Christ gave himself for us. Not only that he may redeem us from every lawless deed, but also so that he may purify for himself his own special people who are what? To be zealous for good works. Remember that. And be careful to maintain good works. As we go on to learn there, fast forwarding to Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8. And notice what Paul has to say about that. He said in writing to Titus, this is a faithful saying. Simply put, what Paul was writing to Titus here is he's saying, this is true and you need to take heed to it. He said, this is a faithful saying and these things I want you to affirm constantly. What is that, Paul? That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. And he goes on to tell us that these things are good and profitable to man. You see that? You see, faith without works is like putting wages into a bag of holes. It's not of profit. But what does Paul say is profitable? Those who maintain good works. Remember that. And be one who not only maintains good works, but likewise be one who is faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That's what profits. Remember that. And one more thing to suggest to us this morning, that is like putting wages into a bag of holes. And that is loving God but hating your brother. It's like putting wages into a bag with holes. You see, sadly, there are some brethren today who absolutely have no respect for their brethren whatsoever. There are some brethren today who absolutely dislike their brethren. There are some, I would even venture to say, who even hate their brother. But yet they proclaim to love God. And did you know that if someone says, I love God, but yet he hates his brother, that he's a liar? Did you know that? Notice that with me. Follow me there in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 20. And here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 beginning, it's recorded, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? That's a good question. It's a good question. And those who have dislike and hate toward their brother need to seriously consider that question. How can someone say that they love God whom they have not seen but yet hate their brother whom they have seen? How can he love God? You see, as we go on to learn there in the next verse, he who loves God must also what? Love his brother. They go hand in hand. You see that? He who loves God must love his brother also. And notice, this isn't an option here. Notice, John goes on to say, and this commandment we have from him. It's a commandment. That he who loves God must love his brother also. That's serious. And sadly, there are too many who are loving God, but yet they hate their brother. And when they do that, it's of no profit to them. It's like putting wages into a bag of holes. For he who loves God must. Again, key word, must. Not optional. Love his brother also. Remember that. And may we all always strive to let brotherly love continue. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 1. And may each and every one of us always seek to love one another fervently with a pure heart. Notice what Peter says about that in 1 Peter chapter 1. There in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 22, Peter's writing to Christians. And notice what he said. He said, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Take heed to those words of Peter. Make proper application of them in your lives. And may each and every one of us always strive to be one who not only professes our love and shows our love to God, but also for our brethren. And may we always seek to love one another fervently with a pure heart, knowing that loving God and hating your brother is like putting wages into a bag with holes. These are just a few examples of some things that are like putting something in a bag with holes. For doing these things, well, obviously, as we talked about this morning, will profit us nothing. Therefore, may we keep these things in mind, and may we not be one who loses the reward of our labors. However, the reward that each and every one of us ought to desire to seek is that crown of life. That crown of life which Jesus has promised to those who are faithful unto death. And maybe there's one here this morning who desires eternal life, who desires a home someday in heaven, who desires to obtain that crown of life. But you have not yet submitted yourself in obedience to the Lord and His will. We encourage you to submit yourself in obedience to the Lord and His will this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. For you have heard the word of God, and if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can turn from sin and you can turn to God. You can confess Jesus Christ and you can be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. And may we all always remember the need to keep on keeping on. The need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as we've already talked about this day, as Jesus has promised, those who remain faithful unto death will receive the crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and ask Him for His forgiveness. And to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if there would be one here this morning who would be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.